California town in the year 1913. A lone star shines brightly overhead. A child enters the world.
Well, Mr. Nixon, it's a fine, healthy boy.
Oh, thank you, Doctor.
Only one thing was remarkable.
Yes. What's that?
I've never seen a newborn child with a 5 o'clock shadow. Well, I have to go. Good night. Hello, Tom.
Hello, Doc. Child born okay?
Well, yes, Tom. It was a boy. But only something bothered me. I can't put my finger on it, but I just don't trust that baby.
Though it was clear from the very first, this was no ordinary child. We join him in his first attempt at elective office.
All right, class. It is time to elect the blackboard monitor. Now, let us hear the speeches from the candidates. Tommy?
If I'm elected blackboard monitor, I promise to keep the erasers clean and scrub the board every day.
Thank you, Tom. Now, let's hear from Dickie.
That's Richard, if you please. Thank you, Miss Phillips. And thank you, Tommy. We can all find, of course, much truth in what Tommy has said. Where, then, do we differ? Everyone agrees that we must keep the erasers clean and the blackboard scrubbed. Unfortunately, Tommy has said nothing of those who would raid the chalk supply. We must use all means at our disposal to deal with this terrible mess. I want to see a generation of students free from the threat of chalk thieves. If elected, I promise a 4-day school week. An extra Jewish holiday. For everyone. Regardless of race or creed.
Richard, please be seated.
Cue the balloons.
Hearings by Senator Sam Ervin's committee kept fresh disclosed on the Watergate scandal coming daily. And one giant question mark hung over the country. Would Nixon be indicted by the feds? But oblivious to all such fears, Nixon went about his job, business as usual.
I would say that it's 30-1 that I'll be impeached, and 1,000-1 that I'll go to jail. And that has absolutely nothing to do with the fact that today I'm sending to Congress a prison reform bill. Which provides a 2-bedroom suite with a terrace for any wrongdoer who is one time the highest official on the line.
Hi. Mr. Cronkite, Mr. Brinkley, it's almost 7 o'clock. You know what that means. Bedtime at the old reporter's home.
Can't we stay up for the nightly news?
This is Walter Cronkite, and I say screw the nightly news. I don't want to see that little turd, Dan Rather, sitting in my chair. I still belong there. I'm better than he ever was or ever will be. I never should have left CBS. They shoved me out on the street. Those ungrateful twits, I'll never forget. as I live. And that's the way it is.
How do you think I feel, watching Tom Brokaw? The man makes $7 million a year, and he can't say his else. Chet and I did the whole alphabet for a lousy 65 cent.
Well, we are living in the past, David. In our day, we would never have covered the Lewinsky story. The president gets lucky, and they call it news.
It would be news if it happened to me. I haven't had my pipes cleaned since Barbara Walters left NBC. She's another one who can't say her else, but she didn't have to after what she did. It was fine with me.
Maybe that's where I went wrong. I'd still be on the air if I said, good evening, this is Wawa Cream Type with the evening news. Thank you, and that's the way it was.
Wait! Richard,
come before you tonight to announce that I am ordering ground troops into Cambodia.
Remember the campus riots that followed that one? Now, you're going to get that speech in a minute more. This double record set is not available in any store. Hold it now, and you also receive for no additional charge another album classic of such political hits as...
When I return, Mary Jo and the call were gone.
Yes, that was Ted Tanner's epic critic speech. We're never going to forget that one. And on the same album, you're going to get that mustard crying in your engine. And you but Humphrey's 10 greatest concession speeches. Speeches like this one.
I can see.
And this one.
I can see.
And of course.
I can see.
And the unforgettable one.
I do can see.
And included with every album, a map of India, China, and a pointer. Now just think of the hours of fun you're going to have listening to those speeches and points to different places on the map, like St. John's, The Name, and My Line. So brush back your ponytails, slick down your beards, and stay cool, you. All of the state double albums hit now, and you'll have it made in a shade.
Get your copy of Dick Nixon's Solid Gold. Send your check or money order for $5.95 to the Richard Nixon Defense Fund, P.O. Box 42, San Quentin, California. And now back to our regularly scheduled program.
The election safely won, it looked like the lid would stay on the Watergate paper. But then members of the Nixon mob threatened to blow the whistle to a Washington grand jury. Nixon needed help. On a Tuesday morning, the presidential limousine arrived at a fortress-like family compound on Long Island, where a secret meeting took place.
Why didn't you come to see me before? You had come to see me before. You're a scum. Scum who did this to your daughter. They wouldn't be suffering this very day.
You don't understand, Godfather. My daughter is fine. I'm the one who's suffering.
Why must you come on the day of my daughter's wedding?
It's very important, my fellow Italian American. First, let me congratulate you on your lovely daughter's wedding. Let me just say, mazel tov. I have brought you this gift.
Oh, a nice blender. Look, sir, Mr. Nixon, from one.
Yes, Godfather.
Look, how many times have I told you to not go ahead and open wine? The man is an animal. Now tell me, why didn't you want to be my friend before? Why didn't you ever agree?
I was just saying to Pat the other day, we don't get to see enough of the Corleones.
My friend, the stupid persons in your organization must be silenced. If you only think to me and my friend, then John Dean III will very quickly become John Dean the last. Hey, why do you come to see me? What service may I do for you?
I have to get out of the Watergate mess quickly. So quickly you wouldn't believe it.
Do you want justice?
Not necessarily.
Nixon was now a new con at the big house, and he was forced to adjust to the harsh new realities of prison life, which he was learning from a top taskmaster, Warden Steiger.
Nixon, you're a new fish in here. Let's get acquainted. I'm the warden. Let me explain the rules to you here and now. Follow the rules, we'll get along.
Break the rules, and I can make your life very, very unpleasant.
And this prison state pays your keep, and I am your keeper. Do I make myself perfectly clear? Still gives you 3 meals a day and 1 bath a week, and that includes a shave.
I need more than 1 shave. I need so many shaves, you wouldn't believe it.
I believe it. I believe it. Look at your face. It looks like a dirty rag. Now, you're in prison now. The cushy days are over. Just forget about them. They're behind you. Join the other men in the yard while I get your prison cell assignment. You better behave yourself. I'm telling you that.
Oh,
like the way she was looking at me. The same as I don't like the way you're looking at me right now. With those shifty eyes.
Oh, come on now, boys. Don't fight. We want to make our new fish right at home here. Oh, I don't believe we've been introduced. I'm Paradise. I take my showers on Tuesday.
What are you in for?
I'm not in for anything. I volunteered. I find the atmosphere very stimulating. Come along, Dutch. Let's introduce our new fish around. Richard, I want you to meet Bernie the Knife.
How do you do that, Knife?
Oh, Bernie is delightfully antisocial. Don't you think he's a mass murderer? Isn't that exciting, a mass murderer? He used to tie up all his victims first with nylon stockings. Oh, he's becoming goosebumps when I think about it. Oh, my.
I think we need a nickname for you, too. Everyone's got one.
Yes, what a droll idea. What should it be?
With Nick, you sound kind of educated. You know, one of those college boys. Probably had some schooling. How about if we call you the professor? The professor. It has a certain stature and dignity. I am the professor. Make no mistake about it. I am the professor. I am.
Sam. Come on. Wake up.
Yeah.
President, I still fall asleep. I think so, and I'm really after all.
Kendrick, still the president, believe it or not. I'll prove it to you. I'll turn on the radio. You'll hear your name. You'll see.
Don't do that, Pat, please. All the networks are always saying bad things about me. I just can't take it anymore. I wished hard enough, Pat, and I became the president. Maybe if I wished hard enough again, I could maybe have my own radio station. Just think of it. My own station. My own station. My own station. My
72 Gamma UNIX. 110% America.
Good morning. This is your announcer, Henry Fonda. WNIX on the air. And now here he is, the man who is still your president, believe it or not.
Good morning, my fellow Americans, and welcome to the Dick Nixon Show, starring me, the wit from Woody. Hello, I'm Richard Milhouse. That rhymes with White House. And that's where I'm coming to you. From the White House pool, where I've drained the water, and I'm sitting here in the deep end. First, let's see what the headlines are. Nixon booed again. Well, let me say this about that. Boo, boo. I can boo, boo as well as anyone. I think it's time for the silent majority of this country to stand up and be counted. Sit down, Pat. Thank you, Tricia. And might I add, and of course I will add, because after all I am the president, might I add how neat you look in your three-piece swimsuit. Weather, 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 weather. It's me again with weather. The climate in the country is not that good. I'll admit that. Something seems to be casting a shadow over the country. Oh, well, weather, weather, weather. And now the portion of the show, my fellow Americans, where people call me on the phone to ask anything that's on their mind. Anybody at all. Anybody with a... Oh, it's lighting up like a bulb on a Christmas tree. I'm so excited. Hello, this is your president. Will you identify yourself?
Hello? How are you, Mr. President? This is the actor, George C. Scott.
Well, this is an unexpected pleasure. Mr. Scott, if you only knew, if you could only imagine the influence that your performance as Patton has
has had on me and my entire family. Why, for weeks at a time, David Eisenhower in his one-star general's helmet, and I in my five-star general's helmet, around the White House. And right behind us were Tricia, Pat, and Julie in their army combat boots.
But I have a confession to make. I'm really an actor playing a part.
Do you mean to tell me, Mr. Scott, that all those battles, all those beautiful battles that Pat and I sat through holding hands, were merely part of a movie made in Hollywood? That is disappointing.
Mr. President, I just want to ask you one other thing, you know, while I had you on the phone. Did you by any chance see any of my other movies, like, did you see Dr. Strangelove?
No, I haven't seen Dr. Strangelove.
Well, Mr. President, do yourself and everybody else a favor. Don't bother to see it.
Well, that was a response. Very sad call. And now better yet, let's play our telephone game. That's where I surprise some American out there. And believe me, your president has plenty of surprises for you. I surprise them by calling them up and saying hello. What a thrill it's going to be for some American to speak to me, the president. I'll just dial any number in the phone book. down, beef is down, green is down, and let me tell you, I'm down. But Lady Bird is up.
And how are you?
Bird, what are you doing rattling around so early in the morning?
It's my life's work, and it occupies my every waking hour. Father, for every drop of rain falls, a flower grows. Flowers, trees, bushes are beautiful things. Did you ever see an ugly bush?
Bird, do me a favor, will you? Flap your wings and fly away and write another me. Back to the farm report. Things on the farm today are the same as they are every day. Lonely. No one ever comes by no more. Sure, Cronkite came poking around for a while, asking all kinds of questions. And Spiro dropped in. But it's not the same anymore. You think sitting around here listening to Ladybird singing happy trails to you all the live long day is my idea of having a good time? You're crazy. They took my phones away. They're cutting me off from civilization, my fellow Americans. If there's anyone out there listening, do something, please. Well, farmers, thanks to government subsidies, this coming year's going to be a great one for not growing corn, barley, alfalfa, or any other stuff that comes out of the ground.
And, we don't do nothing anymore. We just sit around here playing checkers.
Cool it, Bird. Tune in tomorrow at the same time for the morning farm report. I'll be here. I'm always here. I ain't got nowhere to go no more. Until then, this is LBJ saying...
Good evening, friends. Dr. Billy Graham here. Let me step into your living room. About your soul and its salvation. Yes, I said unto you, the soul and its salvation. Now you may ask yourself, and rightly so, what is Dr. Billy Graham doing in my parlor talking to me about my soul and salvation? Because I come unto you to talk not of your soul and salvation, but that of your automobile. Yes. I said unto you, your automobile. I stand before you now and tell you to use LTP oil treatment. Just press the top cap of LTP and add it right to the crankcase of your machine. Oh, let your crankcase run it over. Let LTP be the salvation of your auto's problem. It goes right to the soul of your machine. Trust me. Trust Billy. Get LTP when I steer you wrong. And tell them he sent you.
And now it's time once again for... Face the Country. And your host for Face the Country, Davy Susskind.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is David Susskind. Tonight, we have with us on our panel a cross-section of political thought as we remember this man. First, but not least, a man who is known to billions of Americans as Mr. Middle of the Road, Richard Milhouse. Next.
Good evening. Certainly is nice to be here.
Next, a man who may be described and has been described as slightly right of center, Mr. Bill Buckler. Bill, welcome to our show.
Good evening, and certainly is very nice to be here tonight.
And now, representing the cross-section of our rebellious college-age youth, many of those about today. But I really think that we have a good representative. Here he is, Davy Eisenhower.
Hiya. Peace.
So much. You all know each other, and you also know the format of our show. You will be asked questions by members of the audience to which you will have to give an answer. Is that clear?
You mean if I am asked a question, I will answer in a manner that is expected of me. And I always will do what is expected of me. Not only what is expected of me, but what is expected of all Americans.
You generally have the right impression.
Fine, in other words, Mr. Susskin, to paraphrase President, to assure that we are all engaging in social intercourse, upon entering an agreement under a harmonious, copacetic understanding, we shall endeavor to present recourse to all queries that may indeed be directed before our attention.
Well, Bill, what can I say? Wouldn't have, as you know, how shall I put it? You know, well, yeah.
Ah, that's easy for you to say.
I see a hand.
My question is for the kingfish, the dude there in the blue suit.
The who?
The chief, yeah, the cat there in the blue suit.
Well, I can answer that.
Hey, chief, let me ask the question first, baby.
I'm terribly sorry. Excuse me.
Yeah, well, I want to see, man, but that Spiro Agnew dude, he rapping around with all that funky jive. What I want to know is he blowing his own mind, or did you just tell him where his head is at and say, go, baby, rock on, I believe.
If I can, I would like to have an interpreter for that man's question.
I believe he wishes to be informed as to whether or not Uncle Spiro speaks for himself or for you.
Neither one. Spiro is speaking for Martha Mitchell. Everyone knows that my philosophy, the philosophy of Richard Nixon, is clearly expressed daily in newspapers throughout the country.
You mean, of course, conservative editorials.
No, in the Nancy and Sluggo strip. Politically, I'm right of Nancy, but left of Sluggo.
Is anyone going to ask me a question? I think I know an answer.
Is there a question for Master Eisenhower?
Yes. How does it feel to be married to Julie and be living in the shadow of a father-in-law who's president of the nation?
Well, I don't mind it. After all, we must remember come 5 o'clock, President Nixon has a shadow of his own to live under. I mean...
What was that?
Oh, boy.
What was that he just said? We interrupt this program to bring you a special message from the man who is just a heartbeat away from being the head of our station.
My fellow Americans, Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled peppers, and she sells seashells by the seashore. I guess you know who this is. Beware. There are discordant sounds in this land of ours. These sounds are the clear, cold clarion cries of a clique of clattering congressmen, the fulminations of those frogmen of futility fraught with a fever of fear and frustration. Don't heed the muddled, meaningless mutterings of this maladjusted minority. You know as well as I that they're nothing more than peculiar, petulant, pernicious prophets living in Pittsburgh.
I have the report on Operation Intercept, Mr. President. It's a huge success.
Then you've stopped the flow of married iguana.
Completely. Tourist traffic hasn't moved in days. The president of Mexico is threatening to break off diplomatic relations. Not only that, we seized 3 joints.
Joints. Let me understand that. Now, what are joints?
You've got to be kidding, sir.
Jones, I never kid.
I have a wonderful sense of humor, and I tell hilarious jokes, but I never kid. Now, what is a joint?
Joint, sir, is a marijuana cigarette.
I always thought they were called roofers. Jones, let me say this. If I gave you 50 cents...
sir, I brought these roofers with me because the department thought it would be a good idea if you tried one before you drafted your drug bill. We felt that you might have more insight into the problem if you turned on.
I turned on whom?
Well, turning on means to get high.
I am hep. Let's have one of those joints, baby.
Here.
That's good.
Sir, you're not supposed to eat. You smoke it.
I've already swallowed it. Give me another one.
All right. Here, now, sir, when I light it, you're supposed to inhale like this. And you hold the smoke in your lungs as long as possible.
Now, let's go, Jones. I'm getting up close.
You mean up tight?
Whatever. Come on. Light my fire.
There we go.
I swallowed that one, too.
Here's another one, sir. It's already lit. Yeah. How do you feel, sir?
I feel wonderful. This is heavy grass. It must be Acapulco gold. Dr. Pepper.
Tell me, sir, what do you see?
Well, it's beautiful, Jones. I see spacious skies and fruited plains. And amber waves of grain. Wait a minute. Now I see colors.
Colors! The red, white, and blue, sir?
No. I see brown. Terrible, depressing brown. I see Pat Brown. And he's winning. He's going to be the governor of California.
Are you all right, sir?
Jones, I think I'm having a bum voyage.
Just relax, sir. I'm here with you.
Wait a second. Everything's changed. Now I'm in a big house, in a big, big office.
That's right, sir. You're right here, where you've always wanted to be. And you're in charge.
You mean?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Then I made it. I actually made it at last. I'm governor of California.
For a federal grand jury to answer some questions. Entering the courtroom, Richard Nixon was himself bugged by one reporter he did not want to talk to.
Mrs. Howard Cosell, report. Mr. Nixon, just a few words, please. You've been counted out before, 1662, but you've always managed to resuscitate yourself. But today you face a most serious crisis, probably the most serious crisis in the history of your career. Go away, Howard.
Ladies and gentlemen, the word impeachment. The man Richard Milhouse Nixon.
The word obnoxious. The man Howard Cosell.
Well, friends, you've heard the spunk
pinnacle of fitness, game fighter. He's entering the courtroom. Now, back to the action.
Order in the court! Order in the court! Waiter, I'll clear the room. Phillip, call the next witness.
Rich Nixon, please take the stand. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? Well?
I'm thinking.
Mr. Perry Mason, will you please begin the cross-examination?
Mr. Nixon, did you have any prior knowledge of the Watergate burglary? I love America. Mr. Nixon, did you order the Watergate bugging?
I brought peace to Vietnam. I went to China. I went to Russia.
Isn't it true that you not only ordered, but planned and participated in the Watergate bugging?
No, I am not now, nor have I ever been mechanically inclined.
Mr. Nixon, one of the men who attempted the Watergate break-in, brushed against the wall as he fled, leaving a jowl print which our police lab has been able to make into a mold. I ask you now if you can identify this jowl.
I have never seen a jowl like that in my life.
That's one of the ugliest jowls I have ever seen. And I don't suppose you have any objection to trying the jowl on.
No.
Isn't it true, Mr. Nixon, that you hate Democrats? Isn't it true that you've always hated Democrats? Isn't it true that as a young girl, your wife Pat was bothered by a Democrat who attempted to force her to change her voter registration in the backseat of a Buick? Isn't it true? Isn't it true that you do anything to keep a Democrat out of the White House? Isn't it true?
All right, I admit it. I'll tell everything. Just get the goddamn towel off my head. That's better. It's true. I did it. I had to do it. I do it again. I had to stop the Democrats. They're all a bunch of pinkos. Muskie was a Democrat. He didn't know that. So was McGovern and Joe Stalin, too. They plotted against me. They fought me at every turn. I tried to reason with them, but they didn't listen to me. They had the key to the food locker and the strawberries, all my staff. Ehrlichman, Holden, and Dean. Ah, Dean had more than a share of strawberries. He'd Cool Whip on top of it. I knew it. I tried to fight them, but they didn't listen to me.
When Top Nixon aides started singing to the fans, the Watergate...